It's the California Wine Country Podcast with Steve Jackson and Dan Berger. We taste, we laugh, we learn.
It's California Wine Country with Dan Berger. Today we're featuring Emeritus Vineyards. And is Kirk coming in?
Kirk will not be here.
Okay. But who's here is the winemaker, and that's really important, David Letton. I can't believe you haven't ever been in before.
I can't believe it either.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
Welcome.
Yeah. Thank you.
Let me start with Dan talking about Emeritus. What's the story there? I mean, we'll talk about this white wine in a moment. But
Russian River Valley is really the reason that this winery exists. And I think one of the key points here is that Russian River is more than one thing. Several places in Russian River where you can get different styles of wine and different types of wine, all within the context of what Russian River does best, which is make really beautiful, structured wine with good acidity. The acidity is based upon the fact that there's lots of fog out there, so your land is cooler than typical other areas of Sonoma County. And what Emeritus has done is to explore the different styles and types based on different clonal selections they put into various parcels of their property. The property is very interesting and very varied, and Dave will talk a little bit more about that. This is a wonderful project based upon some vision that was the vision of one of the founders, which was Bryce Jones, who was one of the founders of Sonoma Couture, and moved on and founded Emeritus.
Wow. David, I always like to get histories from our guests. How did you wind up as a winemaker? I mean, what's your path?
By great fortune and good luck. I went to Oregon State University, grew up in the Northwest, was exposed to wine as a kid. My dad was a professor, so we lived abroad a couple years growing up. One of my first wines I ever tasted was a Mosel Riesling, because when you're six and it's 1960s and you're living in Germany and you go out to a restaurant, the kids get wine. So that's one of my earliest wine
I'm
memories.
I'm Italian. My grandfather used to always say, Stevie, come here, have some wine. And my mother would go, no, Gramps, no, please.
I think it was a deliberate act on my mother's part, because she had three little boys and we were driving around Europe. And so what better way to get us all
calm them down,
exactly. and so I ended up graduating Oregon State and not really knowing what I was going to do. And a friend of mine suggested, I don't know how he thought about this, because why don't you become a winemaker? And I guess he knew I liked to travel, I liked to eat.
Did you have any farming experience?
No, no, but I just drank a lot of wine. I like to cook already, and I like to eat. And I knew I'd been in wine country as a kid. I knew what the Mosel looked like. I knew what the Loire looked like. So I knew I'd end up in a beautiful part of the world, whether it was in the States or abroad. And so I kind of sight unseen applied to UC Davis and got into the program down there.
That was my next question. I'm assuming you went to Davis.
I did, yeah. Back. So I got out. I was there in 82. I started the program and graduated in 84 with a master's. Never having made a drop of wine.
You look too young to
that's
be
what,
saying
that's
that.
What Pinot Noir does for you.
Okay. Let's talk about this Pinot.
Yo, this is just... There is no Pinot like this Pinot. There's no color here at all.
It's a white wine.
It's white.
It's a white wine.
But it's 100% Pinot?
100% Pinot Noir. We only produce Pinot Noir.
Well, how did you do this?
So we're 100% estate grown, which is very important. We pick everything at night, so the fruit is very, very cold when it comes to the winery. So when I arrive at 6 in the morning, 7 in the morning, it's all there. It's all piled up in bins. We have a sorting table, and that fruit at that temperature is very crisp. So when it's bouncing along the sorting table, it gives off some beautiful pale juice. And my first year there, I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, where does that go? And I want to ferment that. I want to make a wine out of that, because it's just it smelled like Pinot Noir, but it had this whole other element to it. And so I put it in a concrete fermenter, and voila, that's what came.
Dan, put it on the Lazy really Susan. I got to look at the bottle.
Okay,
that was right here. There you go.
So here's the thing. There is a style of wine that exists in Europe that's called Vingris, V-I-N-G-R-I-S. Vingris basically means gray wine, but it really refers to a fact that you can take white wine, you can take red wine grapes and essentially press them really, really delicately and get some white juice out of it. There's no skin contact, so there's no color. And end result is that you have this wonderful structural almost a miracle wine in a certain way, because it does have this own its own unique personality to it. It does taste a little bit like Pinot Noir, but since there's no color, there's not going to be very much flavor. So this is really a very delicate wine that is great with shellfish. It just will look great with shellfish. Gorgeous. Yeah.
Did you bring any lobsters to the it's called Halberg Blanc.
So Halberg is our primary estate vineyard. We have two estate vineyards. So this is our 110-acre vineyard right where the winery is located.
And who was or is Halberg?
Halberg was the name of the family that used to farm apples in that area.
Wow.
So if you go even to downtown Grayton, there's a Halberg building there. And so we've used that name as our vineyard designated wine.
It's beautiful. Describe this. Because it's a white wine, for God's sake.
Well, it's a white wine, but it's got a sort of a minerally kind of aftertaste to it. The aroma is sort of like faint dried apples, almost an apple-y component, but it's not really the same kind of apples you get out of unoaked Chardonnay. So it's really not a Chardonnay aromatic as much as it is just sort of a white wine that has no particular, I would say, outrageous distinctiveness to it. It's just a nice, clean, fresh, and I wouldn't call it fruity, because some people will assume that fruity means it has floweriness. It doesn't have floweriness. It's more minerality. It's like having a little minerals in a glass.
Yeah, and I think tell me if I'm wrong, it feels like the finish is very minerally.
Absolutely. I think
which
that's
the
greatest feature of this wine is the aftertaste is still. So it's not austere, but it's dry. So it's dry enough to go with the shellfish and enhance and bring out some of the flavors of shellfish that you otherwise would not see if you put a Chardonnay. Chardonnay and shellfish are hard match. It's a hard match to make.
Yeah, you don't see this in California very often. There's a handful of European, Austria, Germany, Loire Valley, where you see wines that are this pale or maybe just the slightest pink quality. And it's rare in California.
And I'm sorry, I forgot to introduce Barry Herbst to the wine buyer from Bottle Barn, the California Wine Country segment brought to you by Bottle Barn. We haven't seen you in a while. I think that's why I forgot. I thought maybe you were just a ghost.
You thought I checked out on you. It's wine competition season.
Well, either David didn't bring a full bottle of this Halberg Blanc, or everyone in the studio loves it because it's empty already.
It's the fastest I've seen a bottle drained yet.
I like to pour heavy. What can I say?
that's the way we like it here. David Latin is the winemaker at Emeritus Vineyards. He is our guest today on California Wine Country with Dan Berger. Don't forget to all our episodes, our podcast, and make sure you
subscribe.
Yeah, you can go to calwinecountry.com or anywhere, any place that offers fine podcasts throughout the internet. Barry, did I hear you saying before we get back in the air, you're not that familiar with Emeritus?
No, I'm not up to speed. I'm here to learn today, and so this is a good start.
And what about, there's no Emeritus available at Bottle Barn?
I don't believe so. No, we're primarily an on-premise that wine. So
well, you need to change that. And Barry goes out in the hallway after the show each day. And,
depends on the premise.
Exactly.
We have the not old, but interesting other bottle. This has nothing to do with Emeritus. This is a Gewürztraminer from Corazon, Kathy Corazon. She calls it Corazon. Kathy is in the Napa Valley. Help yourself.
Is this one of your cellar wines?
Yeah.
How old is it?
12 years old. It's a 2012. The thing about it, I don't age Gewürztraminer very long because you start to lose some of the flowery components, the gardenia-like aromas.
Boy, I'm getting a lot in the nose on this.
Gardenia is just massive. This is from Anderson Valley. She buys the fruit from Anderson, trucks it down to her winery in St. Helena. This is a nice example. It's only been open a couple of hours, a few hours. But the thing about it is this wine has good acidity, and it's usually made sweeter than this. So this wine doesn't have as much sugar as most of the Gewürztraminers you'll find in California. This wine is available only at Corazon Winery, Corison. The wine is Corazon. It's that's her other name. It's the Spanish version, I guess. It's a really unusual style of wine because it is made with so much concentration. It has so much of that.
Big wine for Gewürztraminer.
It's a big wine for Gewürztraminer, and it does have a lot of personality to it. But I have experienced some problems with 10-year-old Gewurztraminers. They typically lose some aromatics. So that's why we drink them at between 4 and 7 years. Mm. And that's about as old as it's I want. Beauty.
Wish we were at C-Type Bistro right now. Dan will be there later.
I'll be there later with the rest of this bottle.
David, your thoughts on this?
Oh, I love this wine. I mean, I've always been a big fan, of course. And she was a founding winemaker up at Chapelet and sort of has held to this very pure, elegant style for her Cabernets. And then, obviously, this is a very classic style of Gewurz as well. And she's a wonderful human being,
just
too. So I tend to love the wines of my friends. So it's,
of course.
I'm very fond of
this. Nothing wrong with that, sir.
Yeah, I know.
And one point of reference, I have a tasting coming up in which I have already tasted the one wine. It's called Sunbasket. She makes a wine called Sunbasket, which is a name of a vineyard. It's a dark red wine. It's not for everyone, but it is fabulous. Got great structure. If you haven't tasted her Sunbasket red berry, you'd be impressed.
I've had it in the past. Yeah. She makes great wines.
I'm not a huge Gewurz guy.
Yeah.
This I love.
There are so few that are made this way.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, and you're right, Barry. It's like a...
Yeah, it doesn't have that fruity, sweet thing that a lot of them have. Yeah. It's more serious, more structured. And
I like it.
Kind of begging for food.
And it is, as I said, it's not for everyone. It's available at the winery primarily. You don't see it in the broad market at all. But it does have its own following. And what I like about Kathy is she's making this wine with absolutely no fanfare. She doesn't have any promotion capabilities on this wine at all. There's virtually none of it. But we had this bottle in the cellar for a couple of years, and we decided we were going to open it. It's delicious.
Let's get her in.
Thanks for sharing that.
Oh, that'd be great.
We'll have her in.
Yeah. All right. It is California Wine Country with Dan Berger, today featuring David Latin, the winemaker at Emeritus Vineyards, and Barry Herbst, wine buyer for Bottle Barn. You kind of mentioned this, but tell me again, as far as the winery, the vineyards, and when did it start?
So when Bryce sold out of Sonoma Couture in 1999, he had his eye on this piece of property just north of Sebastopol. It's on both sides of the highway, 130 acres total. Hmm. And so it just came up for sale just like at the moment he was leaving, so it was one of those perfectly timed situations. And Kirk Laca, his vineyard manager, who's with us still, we've been working with Bryce now 40 years, they saw this property and they said, this is at the epicenter of the Russian River AVA.
Wow.
If you look at the map, it is the dead center target.
No kidding.
And it has very uniform, undulating, gold-rich soils. It's gorgeous. It's like a flying carpet of Pinot Noir. And so they planted 11 different clones starting in 1999. They were farming conventionally with irrigation, but in 2011 decided to start farming without irrigation.
Yeah, dry farming it's called. Explain that.
I mean, all old vines in California are essentially dry farming, which means there's not irrigated, and that's what you did in the days. And in Europe, you're not allowed to irrigate in most parts of wine country. Mm. And so Bryce is very, very good friends with Aubert de Valland from Domaine Romani Conti, and he convinced Bryce that, you know, if you really wanted to express the flavor at that site, you got to cut off the water. Because when you're watering, the roots are in the top 18 inches. And once you say no more, you start driving those roots deeper and deeper and deeper. And we've dug backhoe pits, and they're down 18 feet now.
So what do you do instead of water?
It took 5 years.
The vines will send roots down until it finds water.
They follow the water down. As the soil is drying out, they just follow the water down deeper and deeper.
And the water table up there is not so deep, but you're talking 15, 18 feet?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is substantial. That's a really deep. And, of course, we were having lunch earlier. You explained what's in that soil. Tell me what's in that soil.
Layer upon layer. So the top layer, it tends to be around 18 inches of this sand. It's almost moon dust-like. Mm-hmm. And the roots will hang out there if that's where the water is. But underneath that is this crumbly clay that has a little bit of water-holding ability, and it's kind of paprika-colored. It's beautiful. And then 5 feet down, there's another layer of a little sand, and then below that, more of that paprika clay.
And those all add different flavors as it goes into the deeper.
And I think most importantly is the roots are cool down there. There's always a little bit of moisture. So even if we get a heat spell coming through, the fruit just stays nice and crisp.
Wow.
I mean, the canopy is perfect.
Why don't more people do this?
Well, during those 5 years when we were weaning the vineyard off of irrigation, we were farming about half the crop.
Oh, okay.
So it was a serious commitment.
There's one
time.
Additional problem that you have in some vineyards. I've been there before with people who are starting up where there's a lot of clay. And if you've got too much clay in your soil, those vines simply don't belong in the soil there. And they will try to send their roots down, but sometimes the clay is so hard that you can't get the vines to grow.
Gotcha. Right.
Yeah. Certain varieties do better, like Merlot likes clay.
Yeah, Cab Franc likes clay a little bit. Yep.
It's emeritusvineyards.com. You need to check them out. They only do Pinot, but yet... He brought in a white wine Pinot, and it's 100% Pinot, which I still can't get my head around. And it was
not
just
common.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, this is a $110 bottle of wine?
Correct. This is called Don's Block.
We love it when they bring in really expensive wine. Mm-hmm. I get to brag about it to my friends.
We made a whopping 125 cases of this wine.
Which is absolutely nothing.
It's actually named after our founding winemaker who passed away, Don Blackburn. And so there was a very particular kind of wine that he liked, a certain style that he thought Pinot Noir should be.
This is very...
What year is this?
This is the 2015.
15 Pinot.
This is very seductive wine. This really has aromatics from one side to the other. It's really got all those beautiful characteristics of the bone region rather than the Côte de Nuit, which would have been darker and heavier. This is a very, very subtle wine in some ways, but it's also explosive in terms of the mid-palate fruit, and then the aftertaste has got everything going for it. It's just a gorgeous wine.
It's a very classic, I think, and it's in the type of fruit that it chose and the mouthfeel.
It's unbelievable.
It's delicious.
Just a totally amazing wine.
Yeah, a lot of concentration, a lot of intensity.
Well, again, that comes from the dry farm. We've basically taken this young vineyard, 15 years old or so at the time, and converted it to an old vine vineyard by driving the roots down as deep as
the vineyard. Automatically lowers the yields then, right?
Lowers the yields, and probably the greatest little secret we have is we're picking 3 weeks earlier than anyone around us. So we're picking it at a period in the ripeness where the flavors are at their maximum.
And that's something the consumer should know. Right. If the consumer knows that you're harvesting early, and you've got a wine that doesn't have 19% alcohol, this wine has really got beautiful structure and balance. It goes great with food. It goes great by itself. $110 is a lot of money. If this were a French wine, it would cost you $350.
Right.
At least.
Wow.
This is the kind of wine that we make in Sonoma County. We make wine that from somewhere like in France, it would be at least $300. And this wine is a bargain at 110 in that respect.
No, it's it's spectacular. It's unbelievable.
It really is.
Really nice.
What's the alcohol in that?
Was that Gavin Newsom doing the frog jump of Calaveras County? No, thank God. All right.
What was the question?
What's the alcohol?
It's just 14.
Yeah. 14?
Yeah.
Well, so it's light.
It's light. Actually, it's one of the highest that we produce.
Really?
So we start as we had one at lunch today. It was 13. And I have one in the cellar that's 11.5 right now. That's pretty remarkable.
That's crazy.
That's, again, the benefit of dry farming.
Yeah, it's hard to get the concentration and the lower alcohol. Yeah.
Yep.
This is going to be about 10 years before it ever reaches an early peak, and it'll go on from there. This has got such wonderful structure and balance.
California Wine Country with Dan Berger, brought to you by Bottle Barn, the wine buyer from Bottle Barn, Barry Herbst, back with us. And our guest today is Dave Latten, the winemaker at Emeritus Vineyards. It's Latin. Interesting name.
Yeah, I think it's French-Belgian or something like that. Yeah. I remember seeing it in a cathedral floor in some part of Belgium. And it's like, I think only the really important, rich, probably con men had their names carved in the cathedral.
They donated a lot.
Yeah.
You may be royalty. We'll call you Archie.
Yeah, there you go.
I can't get off the Archie thing. It drives me nuts. Yeah. I don't know why. Okay. So where are we now, Dan?
Okay, we've got this other Pinot Noir. There's actually two more to go, this one and another one. If you have not tasted Russian River Valley Pinot Noirs from the heart of the Russian River, there is a fairly narrow profile in terms of where the flavors are. This wine has a little bit more of the richness and the darkness of Russian River, but it's still a Russian River Valley wine as a result of the fact that the previous wine that we've had, that Don's wine, has a little bit more aromatics, a little bit more personality and aromatics. This one is a little bit meatier and richer, a little bit more concentrated, but not with alcohol as the byword, as much as it is just simply the mid-palate of the wine. It's got some substance, and so if you really want to serve this with some meat, which you could, my suggestion would be rare roast beef, because there's not much flesh on this wine the way you would get with a higher alcohol product. This is a what's the alcohol on this, Dave?
It's like 13.6. It's 13, actually lower than the Don's Blanc.
So it's like 13.6.
It feels fuller than that.
It's just denser wine all the way around.
It's denser, but without...
I would never would have guessed that it was 13.6.
Not denser than a tannic way or a
No, the tannins
alcohol,
are not there. So you, what you want to do is not serve something with loads and loads of protein that plus fat, because there's not enough substance here to go through that. So steak, char-grilled steak, would not work with this. Rare roast beef, on the other hand, would be so beautiful because you've got all these wonderful flavors that are in need of something of structure. And that's got
to
be structure.
So not lamb. You wouldn't recommend
lamb. You could do lamb if it were rare.
Like a loin, like a really rare loin. Because even when this wine is fermenting, it smells like lamb fat. It has this lanolin. I'm always grabbing people out of the tasting room. You got to come smell this. You got to just check this out. It is really crazy.
How did you make this? I mean, what's...
So it's from the higher point of the vineyard, and it's a single clone. The Don's Blanc that we tasted first is one of the true Dijon clones, 115, if anyone cares about that sort of thing.
They're taking notes in their cars.
Yeah, I'm sure they are. This is an old California selection. They call it Mount Eden, but it just classically has darker fruits, that meaty, oily quality. It's always more textural. The fact that these are based, they're from the same property, from the same vineyard, made identically in terms of processing. They're almost from different planets. They're so different from each other.
And that's all the clone and the geography that make up the difference.
And the fact that we're picking at a point when the clones and the flavors are as different as they possibly can be from one another. If I waited two or three more weeks, they all converge. They all taste the same.
I see.
This is a verification of the fact that terroir means something. The locale where the grapes are grown does have an impact. And you have to watch that. I mean, when you're paying $6 for a bottle of wine, you don't care. When you're spending $50 or $60 for a bottle of wine, it should be there. And that's the whole point of good Pinot.
The guy who was the ghostwriter on Trump's Art of the Deal book.
Tony Schwartz.
Yeah. He says Trump is a sociopath whose massive business losses are part of a pattern. And Archie Trump hasn't said anything yet, but he will. I'm going to call him that from now on. Okay. David Latin and winemaker at emeritusvineyards.com. They only make Pinot. But again, the first thing we tasted was a white wine Pinot, 100% Pinot. I still... Like I said, I can't get my head around it.
And now you've had two other Pinots from the property and seen how different they can be as well.
Exactly. And are there any other wineries in our area that are making anything like that white Pinot?
Not in California. I mean, not in Sonoma County. In California, there are a few. You'll find a couple in Santa Barbara County. There are a couple out in the Sierra Foothills, you'll find one or two here.
There's one in Carneros. I know Domaine Carneros.
One in Carneros.
Oh, yeah?
It's really hard to make those wines. You have to have the fruit, and sometimes the fruit is just not up to making a wine like that.
Yeah, we had a rosé in a rosé competition that was that white color. I'm not sure it was kind of borderline if it qualified for rosé, but I think that was actual Pinot Meunier, where they did the same process, I think.
Yeah, we're not pressing at all. This is just passive juice that's
goes. We used to drop our pants in Meunier in college.
it's a rite of passage.
Archie.
This is going to go on for weeks.
It is. I can't stop with the Archie thing. I'm sorry. Okay. Dan, thoughts?
Okay, so this next wine
is the 2013.
This is the 13. Okay.
Whoa.
Now, we're getting a little bit of age on the wine. So what's really fascinating is that as Pinot Noir begins to evolve, and it will, when you reach about 4 to 6 years after the vintage, you start to really see what Pinot Noir is supposed to be. In a great all-encompassing way, Pinot Noir is the best of all the aging wines because you don't have to wait forever. You have 5 or 6 years from vintage or release date, and you already begin to see something. With Cabernet, it could take 10 years before you ever see it. But here, you have this development that has already taken over and has begun to show this I would call it an aromatic diversity. So it's really very interesting how much more flavor and personality are in this glass than the previous wines. The previous wines were only 2 years older, but this wine has got that much more because of the age.
Starts developing more in the nose, a little earthiness and layers of
flavor. In 2013, you said.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow.
This is fabulous. Do you still have this for sale?
We do have a little bit of this for sale.
This is fabulous wine.
How long would you lay this down, Dan? Well, lay it down, Burger.
I wouldn't go very long. I would say at most you would want to go for about 10 to 11 to 12 years because there's so much vibrant fruit up front and there's still going to be some left. So if this is a 13, you go to about 23 or 24, to 2024, you drink this wine and you find it would be very Burgundian-like. It would have more of that dusty component that comes from the dried fruit component, the forest floor, all those pieces of the Pinot Noir complexity that creep into the wine at age 6 to 10. But once you get to about 10 years, you're asking the wine to deliver something that maybe it doesn't have.
Well, for some collectors, that's an eternity, 10 or 11 years to keep their hands off.
I don't collect
it. I'm in that boat. Yeah.
My wine cellar, as I always say, is the trunk of my car. I don't need to, lay it down? Yeah, right. I lay it down in the trunk, then I get home and I drink it.
Well, this has already reached that point of unctuousness.
Yeah.
It's rich and it's flavorful.
Yeah.
And the acid still carries a lot more of the flavor into the aftertaste.
And so this is only 2 years into full dry farming, too. So what I'm noticing is each subsequent vintage is getting more concentrated without being extracted. And so those wines are only going to be more age-worthy, should you want to do that. I personally, being a winemaker, I lose touch with a wine in its character after it's 5, 6, 7 years old because I can't remember the vintage. By then, it just becomes this whole other thing. So I like something that still gives me a hint of what that vintage was like.
13 was a pretty good vintage.
Good yielding. Yeah. Yep.
And this is just labeled Hallberg Ranch, right?
Correct.
And the last one was La Combette.
Means little hill in some dialect of French. Yeah.
All right.
And so this is the Hallberg Ranch is in distribution. It's the one wine that we actually put into three-tier system. So it's
As a point of reference, I considered Hallberg to be one of the top five vineyards for Pinot Noir in the country.
Really?
One of the top five.
We sell.
And I name them.
Gary Farrell makes a Hallberg. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so we're pretty lucky. I'm pretty lucky to have stumbled on this job. It's pretty amazing. Yeah.
Could be worse places to wind
exactly.
up. For sure.
How long have you been there now?
So 2017 was my first harvest, so the year of the Blanc. And, I was sort of called out of the blue about this position. And as soon as they said family-owned, Bryce Jones, 100% estate Pinot Noir, dry farmed, I almost needed no other information. I live over in St. Helena, so I'm commuting 55 minutes to get here, but it's just such – I couldn't pass it up. It was such a great opportunity.
Bless you, my friend, for coming from St. Helena today.
Oh, not at all. It's easy for me.
I think a property like Emeritus has been way under the radar, somewhat by design. Bryce Jones knew he had a tiger by the tail about 8 years ago. He and I got together. There was no wine available. I just went up to the property and met with Bryce, and we talked and talked. And he said, this is somewhat of a risk because nobody knows. It's somewhat of a gamble when you plant Pinot Noir and try to do the right thing. And he was really not sure what he was going to get. He was pretty sure it was going to be good.
Well, he got the best winemaker.
He got a great winemaker, but I have tasted them from
– My mother agrees with you.
Hallberg, Hallberg Vineyard shows up on other people's labels.
Really?
The two or three other
most notable Gary Farrell.
Yeah. We sell 60% of our fruit to other producers.
No kidding.
Right.
So the Gary Farrell Hallberg and the one that's now being made by Teresa Heredia, who's been on the show, and those wines that say Hallberg Vineyard on the label, they really represent that vineyard, and that vineyard is the secret to what's going on.
It's really an exceptional place.
The fact that you don't have much public image at this point is probably partially by design, because Bryce was really sort of quiet about his future. back
is
then.
Is Bryce still with us?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool.
No,
he's a former fighter pilot.
I see him every day.
Way,
yeah, he was a Vietnam fighter pilot.
Well, who isn't?
Harvard Business.
He's Barry, you guys are doing a pretty outrageous thing coming up this week. Is it this week?
Well, every other Friday we run a flash sale on really good deals we find, closeouts, package changes, whatever. And ironically, I picked a wine that we're going to do this Friday, a little preview that David made. I had no idea.
Until we sat down just now.
Yeah, we just figured it out.
David didn't know you were bringing this in. We didn't know you were bringing this in. Right. And you didn't know David made it.
It was just meant to be.
Wow. Okay, explain that.
Yeah, so this is a Coletto Cabernet, originally founded by Pat Coletto, the famous restaurant designer, restaurateur. Was bought by Bill Foley not long ago. And this wine, you know, like right now sells at wine.com online at $75 a bottle. I was just checking the other day. We bought this on a closeout. We're going to run this at $27.99.
Whoa.
So basically a third. I think the original release was in the 80s, $80
range. And what exactly is it?
So it's a Cabernet Sauvignon from St. Helena, David's home turf. I mean, this is prime. This is the Grand Cru portion of Napa Valley. Grapes are not cheap around there, so
I've been to this property, and this is really mountain-grown St. Helena fruit. It's way up there in the hills.
It's east of Pritchard Hill.
Yeah, so it's really, really
1,500 feet.
Yeah, really. So it is right there with some of the big boys like Colgan and Chapelet.
It's within shouting distance of
Tim
and Bobby's.
You could fly a paper airplane from his home across to Chapelet Vineyard.
Yeah. Right, and it's within range of Tim Mondavi's property.
Those are all $100, $200 bottles all around him.
Yeah.
So anyway, we got a hell of a deal on this, and I just thought we'd preview it, but it turned out to be even more interesting that David made the wine. And
you were working. Tell everyone where you were working when you made this wine.
I was working at Coletto Estate. I'm part of the Foley Family Wines, and I was making the wines there and at Maris. The fruit there comes from mostly down in Coombsville area. But, yeah, I met Pat years and years ago when I was selling my own wine to his restaurants in San Francisco. Farallon Jardiniere. I mean, it was, so.
Synchronicity, folks.
Isn't that fun? Yeah. Crazy. You know, eventually you're going to run into everyone you've ever met in this business.
Yeah, sooner or later.
I love.
And this is really classically made. Really not over the top or overripe in any sense, but definitely super rich, lots of structure, but no painful tannin like some of the hillside cabs can get that need 20 years.
It really will respond to aeration.
Yeah, an hour, 2 hours of air on this would work magic, I think. I mean, it's beautiful now, but will continue to soften up.
It's so fun to taste as a
faint minty.
Yeah, probably in a while. Yeah.
Where did that minty quality come from? That's really interesting. There's sort of a subtle mint character in the aroma.
There's a lot of really dry, scrubby brush up there, so the air smells like that. You know, like the air around here smells like the ocean sometimes. I mean, there's a very distinct character in the air up there. The bay leaves are on all the creek beds up there.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought of that until you said that, which is often the case on this segment.
I like Cabernet. That gets
but I smelled it, and I'm getting mint.
Yeah, there are no eucalyptus trees up there. It's fascinating. You know, too high up, but...
Wow.
And, you know, I didn't do my homework on this yet, but is this blended, do you know?
Oh, yeah, there's a little Franc. There's a little tiny bit of Malbec. But it's probably 80, 85% Cab Sauv.
That's what I remembered. Yeah.
Well, it's very good. 2013.
Yes.
No.
Yes, 2013.
Okay. Great.
K-U-L-E-T-O, for those of you who...
Coletto.
Yeah, and this will be online only the first 48 hours at that good price, and then it goes to like $29.99. It could, if we don't sell it all, it'll get moved over to the store, but you won't get that.
Okay, so explain again what's going on and how people can take advantage of this.
So you've got to be signed up for our online email. Just go to our website, and the first thing that pops up is to sign up for the online email, and you'll automatically get these every other Friday, and they're usually pretty great deals. And 48 hours, it stays at that good price.
All right, we got 2 minutes. I got to thank David Latin, winemaker at Emeritus Vineyards, emeritusvineyards.com. Emeritus is in Sonoma County.
Right, just north of Sebastopol.
But you're still in St. Helena.
Well, I've lived in that house, raised my kids there. You know, I've been there 33 years. And,
wow.
I am looking to move over here. I mean, I really, my heart and soul is with Pinot Noir again. I mean, I started making Pinot Noir in 84 and never really fell out of love with Pinot Noir. So My wife and I are actually looking over here.
I would think so. Yeah. That commute would drive me nuts. I live a mile and a half from the station, so I mean, and that I bitch about that. Damn it, Bennett Valley Road. There's a car.
I just need a faster car.
Get out of my way.
Tell him your name's Archie.
There you go.
Yeah, we need to get That's Jim Murphy to cut some new rejoins and say, and now back to the drive with Archie Jackson. I don't know why I'm so obsessed by that, but anyway. So, David, anything in the future for Emeritus? What's
Every
coming
year
up?
Every year we'll be releasing more wines, again, from the property. The two wines we tried earlier, the Dons and the La Combette, are, you know, 120 cases. We have a new wine coming on named after Bryce's father, William Wesley, called Wesley's Reserve. So 2016 is the first vintage of that. We have some tiny bottlings, again, from other clones, special clones. And then our other estate vineyard called Pinot Hill, which is almost in the Petaluma Gap, right on the border of Sonoma Hill or Sebastopol Hills, has some very intriguing wines as well that are only available at the winery.
All right, beautiful. We got less than a minute right now. I want to remind everyone, the Golden State Warriors, Game 5.
Yeah.
Yes. You can check it out. Pre-game at 7, tip-off at 7:30 right here on KSRO. Go Warriors. David Latin, winemaker at Emeritus Vineyards. Great to meet you, man.
Really nice to meet you.
It's amazing you haven't been in before, but we'll have you again.
Thank you. Love to come back.
And next week, Italian Wines with Don Chigazola.
We love Don Chigazola. He's always good. And thanks to Barry Herbst and Bottle Barn, the sponsor of this segment. Good to see you, buddy.
Good to see you. Mark your calendars. June 20, Rosé tasting at the Hyatt. It'll sell out quickly.
Yes, it always does. You're going to be in next week?
I'm not. I'm Sunset Magazine competition.
Of course not. Yes, I know.
It's that season, but they'll be the week after.
Okay, cool. Good to see you. Thanks, everybody.